Bonjour.
Hello.
Ce podcast s'appelle...
The name of this podcast is...
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
C'est un podcast produit à deux endroits.
It is a podcast produced in two locations.
En France.
In France.
Et aux États-Unis.
And in the United States.
Paris.
Paris.
Et Indianapolis.
And Indianapolis.
C'est un podcast difficile à décrire.
It is a podcast that is difficult to describe.
C'est un podcast extraordinaire.
It is a podcast extraordinaire.
Mais rassurez-vous, ce n'est pas un podcast en français.
But rest assured, it is not a podcast in French. Although one of the producers has worked on French public radio for over 35 years, translating for many, many very famous people in interviews. Toni Morrison, Salman Rushdie, Stephen King, Jane Goodall, Joaquin Phoenix, Jane Campion, Quentin Tarantino, Kate Winslet, Laura Dern, Iggy Pop, Sting, Natalie Portman, Martin Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
What?
All this name dropping is very pretentious.
You think so? Perhaps, but it's true.
Okay, how would you describe je ne sais quoi?
Stories, unrelated, absurd, short stories, one after the other, with a, catcher of the rye sort of vibe. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm, perhaps.
You're about to embark on a hopscotch journey through non sequitur, zany stories.
French say, l'humour est le dernier rempart avant le désespoir.
Ah, humour is the last bulwark before despair.
Mm-hmm, it does sound better in French.
It sounds better in French, well, perhaps. But je ne sais quoi is not about translation. If you like absurd short stories, well...
I know what you're going to say.
What?
You're in for a treat.
Yes, you're in for a treat. Oui! Enjoy!
Enjoy!
An airplane crashed in a field near where I live. You probably heard about it. Flight JH397 from Pocatello, Idaho to Paris, France. The crash took place in the early hours of the morning during the descent towards Paris. I live in Brittany, by the way, in a town called Ruité-Dompierre, not far from Primeleu-Buzy, a charming town, known for its delicious buckwheat galettes and its fruity, yet full-bodied cider. Anyway, the crash was a tragedy. No survivors. Debris scattered over a very large area. I was lucky, because in my backyard, I found dozens of packs of potato chips and peanuts, mini bottles of wine, whiskey, and vodka, as well as a small container chock full of cans of tomato juice and packs of celery salt and stir sticks. My neighbors, however, started the day with a row of three dead passengers fastened to their seats with horror-struck faces, gawking into their living room window. That said, my family wasn't entirely lucky, because the plane's black box fell on my teenage son's head as he was leaving to go to school. Strangely, he wasn't severely injured. It was superficial, nothing much, thank God. At the hospital, they shaved his head, stitched up his scalp, put him on a bunch of monitors all day and all night to make sure everything was okay, and they released him the next morning. He kept the box in his room as a souvenir, but also because he was angry and had no intention of helping with the investigation. If anyone wants to know whether we've seen a black box, he instructed me, tell them no. Turns out, no one asked us. But if they had, we wouldn't even have lied. Because, as we found out firsthand, black boxes are not black, but orange. True fact. Orange. A few days went by, and his hair started growing back. But one morning, while we were having breakfast, when I asked him whether he wanted some more hot chocolate, he replied,
"Paris, this is JH397. We're at 160 knots. May we descend?" "Repeat, this is Juliet Hotel 397. Request to descend."
I thought he was joshing with me. But then, in a thick French accent, he says,
"JH397, this is Paris Charles de Gaulle. Cleared for the ILS runway, 35 left. Maintain 160 knots. Descend and then maintain 9,000 feet."
"Roger that, Paris. Turning left, heading 230 to 9,000 feet."
He butters a slice of baguette, finishes his breakfast, and goes to the bathroom. I follow him on tiptoe and listen through the door. I hear him say,
"Paris, this is JH397. Lost thrust in both engines. Cannot maintain elevation."
And with the French accent again,
"JH397, turn right 380. We have a runway for you. It's a bit short, but it's nice and clear. Can you see it? We turned on the lights, and we are dispatching fire assistance."
"No need. Unable. Unable to land on runway."
Then he channels the conversation between the French air traffic controllers. Flush the toilet and wash his hands. He comes out of the bathroom, gives me a vacant stare, and, resuming the captain's voice, says,
"Paris, this is JH397. We'll try to land in a field in Ruité-Dompierre, not far from Primeur-Bieuzy, a charming town known for its delicious buckwheat galettes and its cider, which is fruity, yet..."
He pauses.
"Foxtrot, uniform, Charlie, Kilo, over, over, and out."
He bursts into tears. I take him in my arms.